Looking at zebras. Here's my favorite. Here's another person posting on video what they saw.
What the f***?
They're hearing at the end, too. You can hear them running by. You can hear their little hoof prints.
What the f***?
Listen.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Well, the demonstrators are still out there. Lots happening since yesterday that we got to get to. College campuses across the area. A couple that we're going to focus on right now, though, Vince. Columbia University, Hamilton Hall. They have broken into that building. So this hall at Columbia was the scene of a major anti-Vietnam War occupation back in 1968. So I think that's the symbolism here. They've taken it over again overnight.
The people who were already inside Hamilton Hall decided to smash the windows and then put bike locks like around each door handle. And they also zip-tied the door handles.
So this has gone beyond where Columbia, I think, was taking this, obviously. They had threatened a suspension was going to happen here. They were going to start taking down the tents. They have commencement in 2 weeks, and they want to start preparing for that. Now they've taken over this hall. That changes everything. In fact, you could almost argue this gives Columbia a little bit more advantage now. Okay, let's send in the cops and take care of these people that are in there now.
This has gone from a protest and a demonstration to criminal damage to property,
right,
trespassing, all of these other things, and the other question of how many of them are even students.
Right. You see, who's in there? Because think about that. It's one thing to protest and to demonstrate and to stand for something you believe in, but this is taking it a whole. This is affecting your future now. If you're really a sophomore at Columbia University, I mean, you're going to be suspended. You're looking at time, potentially some kind of charges. You're going to get hauled away at some point. Wonder how long they stay in there.
Tough explanation to mom and dad, right?
Right.
How are exams going?
Oh, yeah. There has been riot police at the University of Texas. There's been hundreds of arrests already in different areas. At Portland State University in Oregon, that's taken a new turn now. Dozens of students occupying the school's library, and here's what the Portland police chief has to say about that.
With the breaching of the library and the fortification going on at the library, this has now become a criminal event, and it's no longer considered to be a public order or free speech event.
Right. You know what that means.
I expect that felony charges could be filed.
Right. So there you go. Now this is changing into something else. When charges are going to be filed, that was the DA there speaking, at that point, will that affect how these demonstrators and protesters handle themselves?
And here in Wisconsin, we seem to be a little bit behind the wave, but starting to toe up to that line.
A little bit, yeah. Right now on campus at UWM, a little bit more like that at the moment. A little bit quieter. They're waking up this morning in their tents.
Still.
But they do have their tents. Adam Roberts was there earlier this morning. And in UW-Madison, same thing. The tents are in place.
6:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
It is do or die for your Milwaukee Bucks. A must win game 5 tonight at Fiserv Forum. It's Bucks and Pacers.
Sums it up.
So Dame Lillard and Giannis both said to be doubtful tonight. Now, if you recall, the head coach, Doc Rivers, did say at one point that he was confident that Giannis was going to play in this series. I don't know if that was gamesmanship or what, but both doubtful at this point.
Well, this is game 5. Right? Could he play in game 7? If there is one, yeah. Maybe, but may not get there.
So home game tonight, the Bucks down 3-1, and this is a late one, folks. 8:30 tip tonight. 8:30 tip, our pregame coverage right here on WDTMJ begins at 8 o'clock.
Brewers and Rays go at it again tonight at American Family Field for the second day after. We are now dealing with a controversial call that changed the game. Here's Uke.
Here it is! Swing and a foul! Low and foul tip. And the home plate umpire is calling the batter back. He is sending Frelick back to third. That would mean Adames is going to head back too.
So what had happened was Brewers are down 1-0. It's the bottom of the ninth. We've got a runner on third.
Yes.
Jake Bowers is at the plate. He swings and misses for strike three. But the ball gets by the catcher. What Uecker heard was not a foul tip. It was Bowers' bat striking the catcher's helmet on the backswing with the ball already having passed by. Sal Frelick thought he'd scored from third. The umpires ruled interference. Bowers out, dead ball. Frelick back to third. Manager Pat Murphy arguing the call. He gets thrown out. That's 2 days in a row that he thought the umps got it wrong.
Of course, you're frustrated. You know, really, you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened. You know, we put ourselves in that position. But when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong, according to what I just read in the room.
The Brewers dropped their third straight nonetheless. Same two teams tonight, 6:40, first pitch from American Family Field. Manager Pat Murphy joins us live for Brewers 360 at 7:45. Keith.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said. Mama said.
It's just minutes from my house. Didn't even know it was there. Berna Botanical Gardens in Whitnall Park has a children's garden that is spectacular. And it's updated this spring. It opens once again for the season tomorrow. So this is Southwest Milwaukee County, convergence of Franklin, Hales Corners, Greendale, Greenfield. Callie Herbst on her website, Milwaukee with Kids, described it as an enchanted floral village for kids.
There you go.
One of those spaces that kind of makes you wish you had the little ones again,
right?
To give you a reason to go. Callie is founder of MKEWithKids.com. She's live with us this morning. It's called Margie's Children's Garden. Relatively new, right, Callie?
You guys, I'm so glad that you are as excited about it as I. People do not know about this place, and we're so lucky to have it. You're right. It's new. It was built or developed a couple of years ago. It's a nonprofit. They built it in honor of their mom who died of breast cancer, and she loved to garden. So they put so much love and care into it, and then they donated it to the Milwaukee County Parks. So it's right there in Berner Botanical Gardens, and it's such a must visit for families with kids, and also just everybody. It's so lovely.
So Berner Botanical Gardens, I've thought, and we took our kids there when they were little, good visit with kids anyway, but obviously this special garden adds something that is so important when you have kids. Two words, hands-on. What can kids like touch and do in this space?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, okay, so there's an alphabet and numbers garden, which you'll have to go see what that's all about. I really love this kaleidoscope garden where there's these you know, really large kaleidoscopes that look at the plants. And then you'll have to, again, you kind of just have to go and see. But there's also instruments throughout the garden. There's a potting shed where you can play in the soil. What my favorite part is this little village. There's a troll bridge and a little cottage and just all these little nooks and crannies to read stories or play or just explore, run around. It's really fun. They've got sculptures. There's little frogs and ladybugs to hop onto. I mean, really, it's just like kind of just an endless garden for kids to just run around and play.
Now, so we've focused on like the little ones, but like, okay, so you've got tweens or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes they're a tough sell on things to do, right? So age-wise, what's good to visit?
No, absolutely. You're so right. I would say like 10 and under for this children's garden. But if you have a kid and the older sibling is coming along or whatever, they're still going to enjoy themselves. It's a lovely walk through. It really is just a lovely place to be. They've done a beautiful job with the flowers and everything. And then, as you said, Berner Botanical Gardens itself is a great place to visit. The tulips are popping now, so it's a nice time to visit. I've got older kids now too. I probably wouldn't take the 12-year-old to the children's garden, but my 8-year-old would still love it.
You know, it's funny though. Sometimes the older sibling talks a tough game and then all of a sudden, you know, right. They dip back down and enjoy being a kid again.
Completely. I completely agree. The other thing is we're going to keep an eye out because we're, MK with Kids is actually, we love it so much. We're sponsoring one of the little flower sheds in the garden, and we're going to put on like a concert in the garden this summer. So you keep your eye out because that's going to be such a cute event for the little ones.
Fantastic.
Definitely something to put on the list for Mother's Day, right, Callie? All moms would enjoy that.
Absolutely.
Kelly Herbst, friend of the program and founder of MKEWithKids.com. And the pictures are spectacular. They're up on the website right now. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good call, bad call. Was it the right call? Why the Brewers have bigger problems than just the umpires in sports at 6:45.
Do you know what you call a herd of zebra?
It's not a herd.
It's a dazzle.
A dazzle.
A dazzle of zebras.
Well, they are spectacular looking.
And, you know, because the perception when they're all in together and they're running, that can confuse a predator.
It's dazzling.
Yeah.
Kinda. Hence the name.
So in Washington, zebras making the news.
We want to begin tonight with possibly the most unusual travel alert we've brought to you in a while. New video you have to see to believe. Zebras running around North Bend.
All right.
So there are four
zebras.
Well,
you're a sucker for a good animal on the loose story, aren't you?
You're right. One of my favorite things. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. Animals on the loose. Yes. So like the elephant on the loose in Butte, Montana.
Yes.
Made my week.
That broke you.
That made my week. Random elephant. You're just driving. This time, people are just driving. And they saw four zebras.
And somebody has lost their zebras. What the hell? What is happening? Oh my God, please get away.
Hi, buddy.
That's some guy in his car looking at zebras. Here's my favorite. Here's another person posting on video what they saw.
What the f***?
There, you hear it at the end, too? You can hear them running by. You can hear their little hoof prints.
What the f***?
Listen. So they found
tippy tappies, they're clippy clappies.
They found three of them, Debbie. There's still one on the loose. And my favorite line is King County officials say they've suspended their search for the zebra until Tuesday morning. So.
That's it. We're done searching for tonight. Lock it down, boys. That's it.
So I wonder.
He's in the wind.
What is that last zebra doing? That last zebra's probably thinking, oh, I'm going for
it. Just imagine going back to nature. Back to your roots, clean air, wide open spaces.
Oh, sorry, Marty. I'm assuming they will find last zebra. Wait, and by the way, they're privately owned.
I was just going to, did I miss where are the zebras coming from?
They're privately owned. They got out of the guy's enclosure and now they're trying
assuming
to
they're not
them.
Indigenous to King County.
Okay. No.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On to my favorite story of the day, Governor Tony Evers on pothole patrol again.
We fixed the damn roads.
Yeah, this may be his legacy.
Fixing.
Right.
Fixing the damn roads.
It's not that he hasn't made a point of it.
So, you're darn right. We've been fixing the damn roads.
And he himself is fixing the damn roads. Governor touring the state. He's going to be at it again today in multiple locations, literally filling potholes. Monday, he was in north central Wisconsin. The governor's got blue jeans on, road worker, orange, yellow vest, as you would expect. And he was doing all the work. I saw him with a shovel. He had a rake. He had that little tamper, you know, the kink, 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 where you tamp it down, smooth it out. So he was working. I'm sure he wasn't on the job site all day, but it was more than just a token. There we go. Are we good here?
So do you think the customer can win a prize and have him be part of the work that's being done?
You want him to work with Johnson & Sons? Yeah. That's my gig. Stay off of my... Governor?
If you'd like the governor to do one of the jobs
for you. Could have Vinny or the governor. Right. No, we're not. I'm doing that work.
Oh, okay. So
I should call him for tips.
Hey, how'd the tamping go?
Go through his media people and everything. Hey, would the governor be available just a quick conversation about filling potholes?
I think there's some trolling going on here. Like I've said, he's mentioned fixing the damn rolls multiple times. I think now he wants in on your other gig.
WSAW-TV out of Wausau was there.
Safe roads are really important for all sorts of reasons, including, you know, people getting to work every day. If you're in a work zone, please be very, very careful. I think that is critically important.
All right, so he's encouraging people to take caution in work zones. That's a good message and important. They could actually use him in West Dallas, apparently.
Right?
Mayor Dan Devine there had the story. He got hit by a car.
I was surprised, but not shocked, the way people drive nowadays. I see the traffic fly by here all the time. Early in the morning, people run the stop signs with regularity.
So that's the mayor of West Dallas. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's out walking his dog. Dog's okay, but he made it public just to make a point that the governor is making as well. It's slowed down, especially in these work zones where you got guys out there working.
It was one of those situations where in West Dallas, they were looking left. The driver was looking left while turning into the turning right, and just didn't see him walking across the crosswalk.
I don't know. I would typically be in the position to state that the politicians fill in potholes has sort of run its course.
You know? I was going to say, we've seen that movie before. Yeah.
However, he's got the safety message, so I'll give him that. Yeah. And again, he appears to actually be working. But I don't know, didn't you fix the damn roads? Like, I got...
No, fixing.
Oh, we're fixing the roads.
Investments in our kids, our communities, our public schools, fixing the damn roads, and so much more.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Gruber's trying to get off the schneid tonight. We've got the Rays at American Family Field after the crew dropped their third straight and again, umpire controversy.
Gets by the catcher. Here comes Freelich to the plate. And they are saying an out is recorded and they're going to send Freelich back to third. Are they going to say that the backswing got Pinto?
In fact, they are going to say that exactly. Jeff Levering on the call with Bally Sports Wisconsin. Jake Bowers was at the plate. Brewers are down 1-0 in the bottom of the ninth. Tying run, Sal Frelick is on third. Bowers swings and misses. Ball gets by the catcher. Frelick appears to score. But Bowers' backswing contacted the catcher. Thus, the umpire's ruling dead ball. And I don't want to get into the particulars of this and that, but that was the pass ball. Now, the ball is dead.
So back to third.
Right. So Frelick can't score. Runners can't advance. So they send Frelick back to score. There's no score. And that's the call. It can be debated whether the rule was interpreted correctly. Regardless, host of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio, says tough calls in the last couple of games against the crew are not exclusively to blame for these losses.
You're grasping at straws if you go 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, only manage 3 hits, and twice leave a leadoff double-stranded. That's my opinion. That's why the Brewers lost the game, not because of a judgment call in the bottom of the ninth inning when you're begging.
Now, Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
But that judgment call would have gotten you the run that tied the game.
It would have, right. Pat Murphy joins us. He got tossed in the ninth after arguing the call. He's on Brewers 360 at 7:45 this morning. What kind of mood do you think he's going to be in? Is he going to want to talk about it, plead his case, or are you going to be like, you guys need to move on?
No, I think he'll mention it and agree that it was a thing, but he's a big move on to the next game
right.
guy. He's a big, hey, new day, so I would expect him to move on.
Next game is tonight. It's a 6:40 first yeah. pitch from American Family Field.
So your two stars are doubtful. It's only happened 13 times before when you've been down 3-1 to come back to win that playoff series. Can the Bucks do it? Can they come back from the dead? We'll check in with Lori Nickel next.
Your Milwaukee Bucks hanging by a thread, down 3-1 in their opening round NBA playoff series to the Indiana Pacers. We're back at home tonight for an 8:30 tip at Fiserv Forum. Friend of the program and two-time Sports Writer of the Year, Lori Nickel, is on the line with us this morning. Lori, it's so cliche. Players say it all the time when they have nothing else to say, one game at a time. But let's not even, I guess, begin to discuss whether or not we can win the series. And how about, can we win a game tonight?
You know, it's kind of ironic. Let's have an 8:30 p.m. tip-off for one of the oldest teams in the league, the Milwaukee Bucks, going against the Indiana Pacers, one of the fastest and most athletic. Greg Hill, just before, said, please uplift the Bucks fans, and I can't do it. I just can't.
Oh, no.
So why? Okay, so let's go through. Dame and Giannis both likely out tonight. Yeah. Do you hear anything or any chance that either of those two would play?
You know, that's getting interesting, though, to me, because Doc Rivers keeps talking about, you know, this is the most that Giannis Antetokounmpo has done. You know, in practice, and then you get these kind of contradicting reports from Shams. So Giannis passed the 2-week window with that soleus calf strain, but I don't know that that means anything. Again, you and I talked about this a month and a half ago, you know, when he had several injuries on that leg. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know that they know if they're playing it day by day, hour by hour. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he came out, to play tonight. But the thing is, the Pacers are super physical, super aggressive. When they lost game one, the only thing they talk about is how they're going to play with Moxie and they're going to play physical and they're going to play aggressive. Do you want to bring back Dame or Giannis in that kind of situation and possibly risk another injury or something. I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
It is amazing that that's worked, that idea of having moxie has gotten under the skin. I mean, I was so fired up for the idea of Bobby Portis and Pat Beverly, two guys that just annoy the absolute, you know what, out of any player. And it's the tides have turned. It's all the Pacers getting under the skin of all our guys.
That is so perfectly said. I mean, that used to be the Milwaukee Bucks calling card, and that used to be how they played 1 through 5. And you'll still see spurts of that. I mean, Brook Lopez is holding his spots down. He's not getting pushed around. But it is interesting that, you know, both the Boston Celtics in years past and now the Indiana Pacers, not only they're looking for a little bit of a fight. You know, the Pacers want to get under their skin, both mentally, and then they want to get into shoving matches. That is kind of how they play anyway, but that's really how they play against the Bucks. And you see fleeting moments of that with the Bucks, but it's not consistent. And that's not on the coaches. That's not, I just don't really know what the change is there, except for, you know, two of the five starters are new and they're not really known for playing that way this year.
Lori Nickel from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the line with us this morning. You had a really nice piece on Chris Middleton, who has risen up in certainly the last couple of games in this series, and some particulars about his shooting style and how he can be so good. Going to need Chris tonight.
You know, and you can count on him. I don't know if you're going to get 42 points out of him, but
how
he's
about
also
75? Can we get 75
points? Right. I know, you guys. I expect to see some of the young Bucks play tonight. Just if they're building and looking forward to the future. I'm not saying that they're doing that. You know, they're still competitive. But yeah, Chris has been just stability for this team. When he's not hurt, he has provided that. And he's a really good defender still, too. I didn't even get into that aspect. But you can count on his scoring, you know, unless the Pacers triple team him. And then the Bucks are really in trouble.
All right, so next week we're either doing a post-mortem or it's on to the next series. Who knows?
Yeah, I think we might kind of know. I hate to say it.
Oh. All right, we'll brush up on your Packers then. Thanks, Lori. We'll talk next week.
Okay, see you later. Bye.
All right already.